Good evening, good evening. Welcome back to another episode, another edition with your boy, Jovi Fresh Baby. I am honored to have an amazing guest on my show tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, she is phenomenal. She has two businesses. She's a mother and she is a stock trader at night and also in the morning. Plus, she is the wife of one of my closest friends as well. Had the honor of her introducing me to him and we kind of kicked it off. But you know how life gets and we basically just doing our own things. So I'm happy to bring her on. I'm just doing a little intro for all those mothers, all those ladies are looking to have some type of information and also share her experience of how she's doing it as a mother, you know, and creating two businesses as a bakery, as a designer, and also a stock trader. And I'm so thrilled to have her. I'm about to bring her on, Drea. She's going to get involved into all her concepts and her experience, what she's doing. So give me a second. Let me bring her on. I'm just doing a short intro. Also, as well, if you haven't subscribed as a monthly fee, $1, $5, $10, help your boy out. Let's build this platform furthermore to have visual and also audio right in front of you. And let's have more guests on the show. So stay tuned real quick.
Hello, hello.
Well, welcome to the show all around the world. My honor to have Drea on the air tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, this woman right here, I am so thrilled and honored. She is phenomenal, nonstop hustle, grinding, and providing. Drea, welcome to the Jovi Fresh Show.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate just being on here and you taking the time to reach out, just saying, you know, hey, we want to just hear your story. No, I really appreciate it.
Girl, I worked with you. You were my boss. And seeing you grow, seeing you having a baby and being married and still growing. Like, you have mostly, as a young entrepreneur you are, I'm just curious, let everyone know, where are you from?
So I'm born and raised in Chicago, And, like he said, we used to work together. So, long story short, I worked for a restaurant for over 10 and a half years that had me travel and kind of move around. And so I landed in San Antonio, after 10 and a half years of working with the company, just left and was like, okay, I'm 30 now. Like, let's do something else. I was with my boyfriend, now husband at the time, and just decided to just full on pursue me. Like, I gave that company all of my 20s. And then I was ready to just settle down and just say, hey, I'm ready to do whatever feels great in my soul. Like, not work for anybody, not clock in, none of that. And that's how I got to San Antonio.
How does it feel being your self-employee?
You know what? It feels amazing. Because what I will say is I went back and forth in the work, back into the workforce. It was kind of like, okay, do me. But what I didn't realize was doing me married, it didn't really work too well. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're independent, you're strong, and you just do everything for yourself. But then once you're married, you know, things kind of have to flow well for the house. And before we got married, we were two very strong individuals that just kind of did things together. Once we got married and I was just like, no, like, I just want to do me and live my life. We struggled a little bit as far as trying to figure out how that worked for our marriage, our household, our bills, things like that. So I went back in the workforce a couple different times, but my passion has always been design, event coordinating, decorating, just rearranging. If you have a small little table, I might rearrange just the things on the table just to make it look pretty, just things like that. So I decided to kind of jump back in the workforce, but working for a venue that could allow me to do everything that I love along with getting paid for it. And so I did that. And that's how I started my first business, which is Sweet Statements, where I was an event and event coordinator and planner and designer. And so I left the venue pretty much after my daughter was born.
Yes.
And I tried to go be a general manager for a company that specializes in bartenders and stuff like that, because I've been a bartender, bartender manager, bartender trainer. I trained a lot of bartenders across the US. So that was kind of in my resume, and he made me the general manager. But again, it wasn't like, oh, I love this. So I was back to not spending time with my husband, not spending time with my daughter at the time, and now just kind of like not doing me, but helping someone else live their dream.
Correct.
So to get to the longest story short, right? In order to really pay the bills the way the bills needed to be paid, because my husband was used to that corporate restaurant money.
Yes.
And then I wasn't making that money anymore. I was trying to get, you know, my passion and my dreams off the ground, but he's like, okay, but along with that, you know.
Yeah.
And so I went into HR management. So for 2.5 years, I was a HR assistant manager for a company that specializes in automotives. And then during COVID, probably in March, I got let go. And at that time, that's when I was like, okay, enough is enough. Like, honestly, I don't want to go clock in anymore. I don't want to work for someone. I don't want to sell somebody, hey, I want to put in PTO. I just wanted to really just live my life and grind and pretty much make my dreams come true versus helping someone else make their dreams and their business come true. So that's where we are. Sweet Statements is my business. That's my baby. I've coordinated all together since 2016. I think I've coordinated 42 weddings so far.
Wow.
Yeah. That's coordination, planning, assisting. I have a really good friend that is a floral designer, and she is a grinder like myself. So if I'm not helping her set up her wedding and helping her design it, things like that, we are behind the scenes just kind of just creating content and doing style shoots and things like that. So that's what I'm doing. It's a whole lot.
It sounds a lot, but it sounds interesting because what you're developing that now, did you went really deep during this whole pandemic that recently happened that, you know what, I have let go and I want to push my passion just a little further in than kind of going back to the corporate industry?
So I was in the corporate industry. So I was in corporate during the pandemic, right? So that was really rough because to be 100% honest, I went back into the workforce for my husband. I did that for him. I can see how my passions and dreams weren't necessarily holding us up to the standards that we were in. And so it was making it rough. And I didn't want that for our household. And now we have a baby. And it was a big burden on him. So he actually transitioned to a different job that was paying more at the same time that I got the job. So it was kind of cool trying to see, kind of seeing how that transitioned, more money was coming in, and we felt normal again. We start feeling like ourselves. We start letting go of the pressure and the stress. And that was a good year. And then we went straight into the pandemic. So I was working during, through the pandemic, everything. So that was really rough. And then
as a mother, real quick, did you feel like you were a little scared because coming home could have bring, you know, that virus, you know, I know, knowing that you're a young one plus your companion, you know, just, I know there's a lot of things in the air that I've kind of exposed as well, working in doing the pandemic as well, but, you know, just trying to see from your point of view, Was it pretty
So
scary?
it was terrifying. And let me tell you why. So in the beginning, of course, you don't know. You have a clue. You're still going to work. You're trying to understand. You hear rumbles of like what's going on, but I'm like, why are these people scared? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you didn't know then of the severity of what was going on. So my job had shut down for about six and a half weeks. So prior to that, this was still March. My little girl got really sick, but I mean, she was two at the time, and we didn't know what it was, so we just thought it was allergies, and they had her on three different medicines. I'm like, okay. So the doctor was like, she needs the allergy medicine. I'm like, okay, it's allergies, you know, we're gonna get through it. And at the same time, I didn't really feel well, but it wasn't bad. It was just like maybe some chills and just didn't feel good. So once we got her medicine, she went with grandma. They live in a ranch, and it's kind of just them. So I wanted to take her out of daycare because she wasn't getting the medicine as often as she needed. And I wanted her body to rest. Her little body was just going through a lot. Well, that was like March, maybe like 15, 2020. She was out of daycare for the following 7 months. And we had a quarantine birthday for her. Her birthday is 4/4, had a quarantine birthday. And I had noticed that four, one, two, it was four of us. Three ladies out of the six of us were sick. And I was like, well, I mean, I'm not really sick. I had a headache. It's bad. This headache is pretty bad, but no, it's my daughter's birthday. So literally, I went and took the test. And this is when you can really go one place in San Antonio. And it took days and days and days. So we had our whole birthday, just us three, parents and daughter. And then she went to bed. It's 10 o'clock. We're like, all right, margarita time. She's quiet, you know? And as soon as we get one sip, I get a phone call and my results are positive. I burst out into tears. Yeah. I'm in tears. Like, we just had a whole birthday, meaning I touched everything, wrapped everything. I was definitely terrified. So husband stayed home for 2 weeks. It had been already a whole week after I even took the test. So I really only quarantined for another like 5 days because it took so long. But I was terrified. I was so scared. So when I actually had to go back to work, it was terrifying. I honestly feel like I've gotten built up a little bit of anxiety just being around people.
I could understand, relate to that, because when I had COVID back in December, especially the busiest time of the year, right? During Christmas and holidays, and all of a sudden that I basically got exposed to it, not knowing how. I still get doctors asking me how did I interact with it, and I still tell them I still think about it today. But when I went through it, I was out for almost like 2 weeks and a half, almost a whole month, and almost could have died from it. A healthy fitness person myself, you figured like, hey, this disease is just going to be like that common cold they kind of talk about on social media. Then feel like I can hardly breathe, my body's aching, I'm sweating, headaches. So going back into the real world, you're like, man, I've really exposed of it, and I just don't wish no one upon this type of,
Absolutely.
sickness.
Once we got back, I mean, they took more COVID precautions and things like that, but any chance I could, I mean, I had little alcohol wipes and sanitizer. It's so crazy. I have a little babyish obsession with Bath and Body Works, right? And so now, I know a lot of us ladies might have that. So now I have sanitizers. Like, that's my newest, like, oh, it's your birthday. Like, here's a card and here's a hand sanitizer. And so I had tons of that. It was literally everywhere. I sprayed everything. If people would talk to me in close proximity because I was in HR, I would kindly ask them kind of like step back. You know what I mean? Like, can you pull your mask up? It was very serious because taking me out of work, and when I was out of work, you didn't get paid. And my husband was only out for 2 weeks, but he got paid. And so it was like, no one knows when this is ending. It's affecting my work. And another frustrating thing, I have really bad allergies. So
Oh,
and
yeah.
now it's kind of like, oh, you're sneezing a lot. Like, so I had to take another 4 days off, like that July. And that came out of my check. And I was like, it's just allergies.
Allergies. It's
It's just
allergies.
allergies. Yeah. So in the COVID pandemic, you can say I've taken the test 4 times and my daughter had to take it. When my daughter had to take it, though, that crushed my heart.
Yeah.
That was heartbreaking.
Especially doing the nose swab and
Oh, yeah.
both nose, and they're not gentle. Let me tell you that for a
So for
fact.
her, they just did the mouth swab, and I mean, she had that look like, what's this lady doing? So it was very gentle for her, but it was nerve-wracking because you think about that virus could be in this little body, and it was very scary.
And so, just to let all the audience know, she didn't was affected by it, right? She
No,
was
she
okay.
was negative. I'm like, thank God. We did keep her out of daycare for that the entire week. And it's crazy because everybody's trying to get their money. So you close down because someone could potentially be positive. So I go get my daughter positive, but they're still like, well, we're open for the remainder of the week, so please pay. And I'm like, you know what? Go ahead and keep that money. I'm not putting my daughter back in until, clean, sanitize.
When you feel more comfortable, you feel
Yes.
100% safe that they're taking precautions and that your daughter's going to be safe moving forward. And it's
Yeah.
understandable because, of course, you went through it. You don't want your daughter going through it. Of course.
Yeah. Terrified. I thought my daughter and my husband would be positive, and they weren't. They were fine. And so I was able to use my story being an HR representative for anybody that had a situation where they're like, oh my God, I just found out my sister is positive and I was around her. And I was able to kind of give them personal experience of, okay, let's calm down. Let's not freak out. Let's go take the test. And the job kind of did the testing for free. So that was good for all the team members. But I was able to use my experience as well. Like, how long were you around them? And was it 15 minutes or longer? I just kind of was able to grow into this COVID guru.
Because you learn through it, you share it.
Yeah.
That
Yeah.
experience. I mean, when people ask me today, how did I did it? What some of the remedies? What was the symptoms when I was
Yeah.
going through it? You'd be surprised. Everyone blowing me up my Snapchat. Well, I have the symptoms, and I'm like, 80% you may have it. Go get tested, and they're like,
Yeah.
oh, I do. And it's not you're a guru. You just know what you went through.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
Absolutely.
knowing that you went through it, knowing that it affected your business, is how's you develop another business of your baking business, am I correct?
Yes. So, because COVID is still affecting the entire event industry, once you slow down in the event industry, people kind of focus on who they've seen recently. So you have to keep yourself active. So I had to turn down like 2 weddings in 2020 because for me, I was just like, it's a no for me. And that's how you build your revenue. Like when you coordinate one wedding and then you have a sister or a best friend that gets married, they reach out to you. So I'm pretty sure I lost business in that aspect. And then working from home, I have a couple different businesses going on that aren't, they're not bringing in that residual income. So I just launched this, is this Sunday? Sunday. I just launched, it's called Cupped Cakes by Andrea. So all of my cakes will be in a cup. And I went to baking and pastry school, man, I think it was like 2013. And so I'm sitting at home and I'm like, okay, I don't want my husband to feel pressured. He sees what I'm doing, but I know my husband. Like, let's figure out what we can do. So I'm still paying all my student loans from baking and pastry when I was in school, when I was in college. And so I was like, well, I don't really want to make a cake. It has to be perfect. But I really enjoyed when I was working. It's just a knack for me. I would always bring sweets to people. Always brought a cake.
Yes, I remember your
Always.
zucchini cake. Never had it,
Yes.
never had it. And she's like, I gotta make this for you. And I was
Yes.
like, okay. And then when you made it, I was dead for it.
Yeah,
I was
the
like, there's,
zucchini bread is delicious.
oh
Yes.
my God.
So I just like I was like, okay, let me on a whim. I was up like late at night, and I trade on foreign exchange market as well. So up late at night, I'm kind of like doing that, but thinking like, what can I do? Thinking about my bills, and I'm like, well, I'm still paying off, the Art Institute, baking and pastry, university or whatever. So, I was like, let me just see how this goes. I literally had everything in my pantry. So I made my homemade custom banana pudding. I bought some gift cards. So the gift cards came in. And then normally the way I wrap them up, I wrapped them up, stapled my business card on them, and kind of just dropped them off to friends in the area. And I was like, hey, this is what I'm doing. If you like cake, everybody has a sweet tooth. Everybody. Everybody. So, I mean, they're super inexpensive. 5 ounces gets you, I'm sorry, 8 ounces for $5. And it's just super cute and just like right there. You know what I mean? So, that I launched to kind of bring in the residual. And as I'm learning everything that I'm going through right now, they say a millionaire always has at least seven streams of income. So I was like, oh, seven? Okay, well, how many, what number am I at? Let's go. And I think that's the Chicago in me. Like, I've always had to like grind just to get where I am. I put myself in my car on a Monday and was in San Antonio that Tuesday.
Dang.
So I've always been that. All right, let's go. Let's go do it. Now I'm kind of slowed down a little bit because I got a 4-year-old that's like, Mommy, I want
Me,
But
mommy, me.
yeah, me, I'm like, I told my husband, I was like, listen, keep her downstairs for an hour, please. So we're going to see how successful that is.
That's amazing. So you added to the line of what you're developing right now is the 8 ounce little sweet tooth in the jar, right? For $5. Man, I gotta try that. And now you're also adding on additional line of nights stock trading at night.
Yes. So what it is, it's Forex, it's trading on the foreign exchange market. So long story short, right? You go to if you go to the Bahamas, right, you need to take your money, but you have to exchange. We go to the airport, you exchange it. And let's say that when you go to the Bahamas, the money over there is that $100 is worth $200. And so, long story short, I'm trading on that foreign exchange market, completely legal. And what I do it through an academy, that allows you to get two different incomes. So, the person who brought me in gets to add me onto his team, but it also helps his residual. So like he's not getting direct money from me, but he's getting two different incomes. He's getting the residual for adding me in, and then he's also showing me, he's doing the trading as well. So those two different incomes comes from one entity, and that was what drawn, I was drawn to. I was just like, wait, did you say two incomes? So I'm like, okay. And as I'm learning, not only bringing me into this world, it's put me into just kind of an arena of like-minded people. People that are like, I'm all about the money, let's get the money. And everybody's willing to help. Everybody wants to help you. You have access to ask what you might think is a stupid question, but they're like, no, here's the answer. Let's do it together. Let me help you do it. So, the best times to trade is at night and early in the morning. So that's when I do it and I'm learning. I've been doing it for a little bit of about a month, actually a month today. And trade at night and in the morning or vice versa. You don't trade on the weekends, market is closed, which is kind of cool because that's when people want cakes. And then an event. So I was like, wait a minute, this is working? Okay. So not on a weekend. And then the residual. So I'm literally paying it forward. I'm helping someone. I'm bringing someone in and showing them this is how you make money. There are 22, 23-year-old millionaires because they've been doing it between, I would say, millionaire status they got, this one guy got to in probably about 14 months.
Oh my God.
Not even joking. And when I say legit, I mean, you still pay taxes. You get a whole document for when you need to pay your taxes. I mean, I'm talking about legit, to where people can literally say, I'm done working. There have been people that have like, I quit my job 3 months ago and this has been working, or maybe they just want that extra residual income to help pay this bill or whatever, but I'm at home. You know, nowadays you got the Zoom call in your ear. You don't have to be face to face. As your daughter's like, mommy, I want juice, thinking she's quiet. She's not really quiet. So
that's,
yeah,
amazing.
I am like grinding. I literally told myself, I'm not going back into the workforce. I don't want someone to tell me when I have to be at work, or this has changed and I need you here. And, you know, you kind of feel unappreciated.
Oh,
after a while.
Oh, girl. Yes. And yes.
It's just, it's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And honestly, like I was saying, like, you as a woman, normally if I had a question, I would go to one of my male mentors that's like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, I got this. I can help you do this. And for me, I kind of got to a point like about 2 weeks ago where I was just like, I don't want to ask another male. Like, I want to be that person where people come ask me. Like, I don't know it right now, but I'm about to figure it out, because us moms and wives, we have the smallest time, the littlest
time. You do.
Time.
Your time is so short.
It's so short. It's like, but what about me? So I'm trying to develop a routine. My daughter's bedtime is between 8:30. She literally goes to bed on time, thank God. And she sleeps through the night. So, and that's when I have my me time, where I'm either studying, learning, trading, all of the above. And I needed that, because it's like, no, I want to be successful. Like, I want us to be successful together as a couple, but it's important for me to have my own answers and know that I learned them on my own.
Yes.
And I didn't just make this decision over here, or if I'm making a right turn or left turn because someone said, oh, go right. So
question. Now you've been going on a month, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How much has your profits and your portfolio have gained, or how much have you lost within those time zones of learning?
So it's twofold, right? So right now, as far as a portfolio, so I do have a couple stocks on Robinhood. Mm-hmm. And then I also bought a planner that helps me teach stocks. So I'm a little anxious to like hurry up and get through this planner and like learn stuff, but it's making mm-hmm. me do it diligently, to where I'm just learning stocks. Now, as far as day trading, so last night, we kind of keep score. Like, it's very easy. The people that have been doing it for 8-9 months, they come on live and they just simply tell you, even if you don't want to learn, they simply tell you like, okay, get in at this time. And you're going to push the red button, or you're going to push the green button, and you wager, you know, whatever you want to get in at that time. So yesterday specifically, we did seven trades. I won five trades out of seven. So I lost two. So overall, I think in the month after I went live, because you can learn on a demo.
Yes.
A demo will allow you to practice where you're not using your money. So in the month, that's a really good question. I don't think I've added it up. I will say just last night, and what I put in I made $72.
That's still good.
Yeah, it's literally, they say the whole phrase is like money in minutes, because we were probably online an hour, just an hour. And you have to wait for the trades. You have to, you know, be careful with the market. So I haven't actually learned how to call my own trades yet, but it takes some time, especially for five, or seven, I should say, especially for seven. So I think I made $72 just last night.
Girl, you gotta help me jump on that too.
I got you.
For real.
Got you.
And the reason why, that's my next phase, all right? So real quick, I got into stocks when I had COVID because I was home and I said, you know what? I want something to generate profits when something could happen. I could lose my job, X, Y, Z. I could start a new business, but I need to have that digital income. I want that freedom. I was looking for that freedom. So I started with $25 in December, $25. And from now, 4 months going into the fifth month, my growth has been 600%, and I went from two digits. Now I'm working on five digits. I already made three accomplishments. My first 1,000. Now I hit five digits, so I'm already over 10,000, and I made 600% within 3 months.
That's amazing.
And I'm not a guru. I'm not a guru.
Yeah.
I just did a lot of YouTube. YouTube is the universe of learning. You could learn anything and everything off of YouTube. It's just you got to put time into YouTube. So being out, all I did was learn about stocks and what stocks are going to be profitable, what stocks are going to be good and what's not, and what to be expected. So every morning I do three things when I go to the gym before I go to work. I listen to scripture, listen to God, I listen to motivation, and I listen to any kind of stock that I feel is interest that the market's going to be developing and adding into it.
Wow.
But that's my next phase, is what you do in 4X.
Yeah.
I got with Sevi. Also, he wants to do it too.
Okay.
But it's hard for me because I can't find someone, and lo and behold, you. I'm big. When you cast it into the universe, I'm a big believer.
What me you want too. It, yes.
You have to throw it for it to be catch. So you have to show me. Like, I'll pay.
Definitely. Okay. Let's go. I'm telling you, like, I have videos. I have it. When I tell you your initial investment, you're like, okay, you are into a world of like-minded entrepreneurs. And I'm talking about all different sizes, races, colors, ages. That's what I love. It's the young generation, like 20s, that's teaching me. And I'm like, wow, like, I'm excited. And at the same time, I think I told my best friend, I said, I'm kind of intimidated, because usually I literally, like, I'm like, usually it's me like, okay, let's go. Let's grind. Let's do it. But usually I'm on that grind by myself.
Yes.
Everybody in this atmosphere is literally grinding 10 times harder. That's making you like, all right, let's go. All right, this is a little intimidating, but let's go. Like, they keep you excited, and it's amazing. It's amazing to learn. It's all about, I literally want to see what happens in 12 months. Just like how you calculated that five. I'm like, okay, I want to see what 12 months look like, because the two that I learned from at night, when they trade at night, it's two main ones. They've been with the company 8 months, and the company is paying them every Friday, faithfully every Friday, between $250 to $500. We're not talking about trading at all. Yeah. I was like, wait, say what? Wait, say that again too. And when I got into it, to be honest, only thing I saw was trading. I didn't even know there was a residual side.
Weekly.
I was like, every Friday, not a check. It goes straight into your account.
What? Okay. Yeah. I'm there.
Let's go. I'm telling you. It's so inspiring, because how much time do you spend at a job where you're like, okay, you were looking for checks, but this we have total control over, total.
So it's basically you are putting yourself, you're keeping yourself liable because what you invested is what you're going to be earned. Yep. You can't blame no one else because if you don't put time into it, you're going to get the revenue from it.
Yeah. And I think about it, my last job where I was in HR for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I did that for my husband. No regrets, right? Because at the end of the day, I'm going to do whatever it takes to support my household, bring food on the table, you know, where we need to be. We just had a talk like, this is what we need to do. Okay, not a problem. But I told him, I said, this is not at all my dreams, my passions, or, you know, pursuing my goals. So of course, coordinating and designing weddings had to slow down because I had, it wasn't just a 9 to 5. I mean, I was working 10, 12 hours.
Wow.
So now I'm like, all right, let's go. I'm going to grind harder. That way I keep the stress down. But, you know, we want another kid and I'm knocking on 40 in a couple years. I don't plan to retire at the traditional 65, 67.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I'm definitely aiming for 45.
45. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking over here in 5-10 years.
Yeah, so. No. So it was crazy because I was like, when I was at the job, I said, I'm going to give it 5 years. And that I was turning 35. So I was like, okay, I'll be 37 this year. I'm not working for anyone. It was beyond my control. I feel like that was God's plan, like literally was God's plan. So I'm like, I hear you, God. Let's go. All right. We're retiring at 40. Say no more.
Say no more.
Mm-hmm.
Now on that transition, that planning, mm-hmm. that organization, what was some of the failures and obstacles that you have faced on this amazing journey where you're heading towards?
Wow. I will say some of the obstacles that I faced. One of the things that I faced, especially working at the venue, you're working with people that are like-minded when it comes down to wanting to plan and coordinate and then wanting to do their own, like own business. So it was times where I felt pressured to get my business out there and move faster than what I wanted to move because mm-hmm. it was almost like a war. It was like, okay, it was like, girls over here, they're doing this. Well, I want to do this too. Come on, let's do this together. It was kind of like girls' dreams versus girls' dreams. And it was very catty. So I found myself pressured to be in a position where I pretended that I knew more and I didn't, and my business wasn't ready. So I kind of got pushed out there and I wasn't fully prepared to know what I was doing. Let's see. It was a struggle figuring out the name of my business. That was a struggle. The first one, Sweet Statements is my baby. I love that whole name, but it took a long time. And so once I got out of my head and I stopped allowing the peer pressure from the noise around me to push me in a direction I didn't want to go, I took a step back and kind of reorganized. And that's when I really learned that I enjoy coordinating the day of. So it puts me kind of like the month of meeting with the bride. But I fully, fully love designing. So I'll go in and completely design your entire event. If some people really just don't have the patience for it, but they just know they want it beautiful. They don't know that they need linen that needs to be 132 round, you know what I mean, for their wedding. They just know, like, no, I just want this color. So I am passionate about the design, but I also connect with the fact that some people just really don't want to pay for the design up front at first. So Sweet Statements came about because I designed just a table. It is a sweet custom table where we fully design around your theme, your idea, and that allows me to kind of do what I love, which is designing.
Yes.
get in and get out. And then everybody loves sweets. So
who doesn't?
Yeah. And that's the thing. I wanted people to like get the sweet table, but it's not just like a table with candy on it. Yes. I wanted it literally to make a statement, and that's how my name came up, Sweet Statements.
Sweet Statements. Because yeah, of course, you don't want to be just like a regular planner that you could be traditional. You wanted to be different and stand out among all the other competitors.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, on this journey, what type of advice and experience can you share among all the other ladies and all the other young entrepreneurs that are looking to start up their own career, their own business as well? What advice can you share with them that you went through that you could help them in any kind of way?
One, I would say to ask for help, right? So one of the things that I did was when I worked with people within the industry, I made connections. And I didn't necessarily say, hey, I need help. But what I did was I made sure I made true, deep connections for people within the industry, just making those solid connections and networking. A lot of people will go into an atmosphere and kind of just network, but they're not making true connections. They're just kind of just networking and passing their business cards around. As I was coordinating, I made true connections with, you know, some of the florists in the business, some of the bartending companies in the business, the DJs in the business, to where now I'm building those connections outside. I'm like, well, hey, you have twins. They're three. My daughter's four. So now we're at birthday parties together. But I'm also learning not just, you know, what they do in the DJ world, but I'm learning how to pick their brain on the business side that they have, right? So a lot of people have business knowledge, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're expressing all of that knowledge. But once you get to know people and you reach out, you're like, hey, I want to pick your brain. You got time for coffee, or you got time for Zoom or FaceTime or whatever. So when I say ask for help, I was reaching out to my now friends, right?
Yeah.
I was reaching out to my friends, and I was very honest with myself and honest with them. So if they said, well, you got to pick your business structure, I was so honest. And I was like, what you talking about, Willis? Who structure what?
Yeah.
You know, I was super honest because that way I'm getting full knowledge of what I need to learn versus, you know what I mean? Like at points when I felt that pressure, I wasn't asking full questions and I was pretending that I knew whatever they were talking about. So I was very honest and just very open to learning more. And as I learned, as I did more events, I should say, I learned more. So a little bit of that is the repetition. And a little bit of that is just being open to learn and then never thinking that you've learned everything, because you could be very good at what you're doing in your city, but of course you want to expand. And so like, if I try to expand, let's say in the LA world, that's a whole nother world of design, you know, a whole nother tax bracket. I never closed myself off of learning, and that comes with just being humble. So I just stayed humble to what I did, stayed humble to what I want, but I also knew how to say no. And that's another thing that a lot of people don't do. A lot of people feel like you just need to say yes, 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 yes to bring in that income. And what happens is you're giving too much of yourself. So you're not really making a profit because you've given all of yourself plus more, not charging for the labor that it takes. So I had one person that was like, I want you to help me plan my wedding. And I was like, okay. And so she was like, you know, what's your pricing? So I sent her my pricing and she said, oh, this is expensive. I can do it myself. And I said, oh, I totally understand. You know, let me know if you need like a coordinator at the end, because honestly, be honest, no one, not a mom, not an aunt, and especially not the bride or the bridesmaids should be planning or coordinating the day of, right?
Yes.
So I let them know that's really important. Like when we do rehearsals, I'm like, okay, all right, mom, you're mom now. You're not planning anything. I got it. But I told her, I was like, you know, if you need a coordinator, day of coordinator, just let me know. But in the meantime, as she was planning, she was still calling me or texting
Yes.
me, like, can you help, or do you know this person? And I think I didn't say no, like bluntly no, but I did ask the question, like, you know, did your budget change? Are we working into this planning contract? Because the people that you build connections with, those are your references. These are the people that you've worked with. These are the people that you feel confident, you know, you know that their work is good.
Yes.
And people want to take that for granted. They want the good people, but they don't want to pay for that reference or acknowledge who gave them that
Exactly.
reference. And it's unfair. For me to plan a full wedding, that's a lot of time away
It's a
from
lot
my
of your
family.
time
Yeah.
out of your family's time.
Yeah.
And that
That's
right
a
there,
lot of
I
time.
learned time is valuable. You can
Yeah.
never earn it back. You could be the richest person in the world, but you cannot buy time, no matter how much money you could have.
Yeah. And stay true. Like, stay true to the why. Stay true to why you are starting your business. You know what I mean? If you're starting your business because you're like, I need to make this money, then grind out. If you're starting this business because you're like, this is what I love to do, then stay true to that love. So for suite statements, I love to design. So I'm staying true to that design aspect. And then for baking, I like baking. I kind of like baking just, you know, like, hey, here's some zucchini bread, kind of like that. But I realized there's a little money in it. So we're going to grind out with it, you know.
Yeah.
So just stay true to the why.
True to the why.
Yeah.
Now, all my audience would love to know, where can they find you and where can they add you? What's your social media for them to also follow your journey?
Yeah, so my business name is Sweet Statements. So I have a Sweet Statements Facebook and a Sweet Statements Instagram. But as far as my personal page, I am also completely wide open. And my Instagram name, that's so funny. I have to go to my Instagram just to get my name. So sad. My Instagram name is Andrea Trevino. Number 14. So I'm super open. Hit me up if you want to know what, you know, trading on Forex is and, you know, what I'm doing. Because one thing I'm 100% about is supporting anybody. So my daughter's fourth birthday, you'll see pictures of it.
Yes.
And it was just a fourth birthday. I get it. I get it. But I needed pictures for content, right? So when you look at it, don't really look at it like, was this a kid's birthday? Look at it like, okay, she needed pictures for her, you know, her business.
Yes.
But what I love out of that is I didn't do nearly half of that by myself.
Yeah.
Literally, the floral was a female florist. The balloon arches was a female balloonist. The sweets was a friend who does cupcakes and stuff like that, because I don't have time to do an entire party plus bake.
Oh,
So I'm
geez.
okay with just, you know what I mean? Like, I'll pay you to do it.
Yes.
And just the small details of like some of the things that I needed from like the personalization, like I had my daughter's name and things like that, and the other kids that came on the invited, like small, like six kids to
Yes.
keep it small. And they each had their own bag with their name on it and princess. And that was a female artist as well. So, I mean, shout out to the guys. You know, I rock with y'all too. But us ladies, us moms, you know what I mean? Like, we got to stick together.
That's good. Now you guys are growing together. I like how you basically network with the moms to help them grow and share the wealth. That's my my motto. Because
it's so much money out here. Like, it's so much money. We all can eat at the same time. Like, let's go.
Let's go. Real quick before we end, all I have to ask is one memory of your achievement that you could basically talk on that you were thrilled that you accomplished and you're able to share among my listeners.
One of my events that I did, there was two, right? So one event I did completely planned in San Antonio, but executed in Chicago.
Oh,
that was tough. Just making sure that I got, you know, the measurements for the event space correctly. I was reaching out to vendors. Shout out to the two vendors that I used in Chicago. I had to reach out to them via Facebook, and we all, Instagram. And they were ladies as well, but I had to, you know, make sure that they were reputable. And I'd never worked with them before because, yes, I lived there, but I don't do events there.
Yes.
So when that event was done, oh my, it was so pretty. It was magical. It was everything that I wanted. And the birthday girl, it was her 35th birthday, and it was everything. It was pink and burgundy sequin, and it was wonderful. Her and her husband had a nice time. But here in San Antonio, I had a young lady that I worked with at Longhorn years ago. Yes. And she reached out to me, and she was getting married, and we planned her entire wedding together. We did it together. We got it all out. You know, we executed the way she wanted to. But by the time it was time for her to walk down the aisle, I was 8 months pregnant. So that was such an experience to go from, I don't think I was even pregnant when she reached out to me. And that was my very first wedding outside of the event space that I worked for. Yes. So that was mine on my own. That was my commission on my own. That was my connection with whoever came in as vendors, my pricing, my first experience, how I grow from here. And then, being a mom. So, and it was great. There's a picture that was taken of me from the photographer. It was so cool because we had the same photographer from my wedding to her wedding. And the photographer and I were, of course, friends now. And I was glowing, and you could see the baby bump. And that was like, okay, it's legit. I can do this. If I can do it, stepping out on my own, there's fear there. Being pregnant and tired, you know, that's a lot. So I learned a lot from that. I think my first experience out on my own taught me a lot. And it was great that I knew this person. So that's what I love about that one. Oh, and it brought me business later because her best friend got married over a year later. And I did that way.
Always networking. That's what I love about y'all.
Yeah.
Drea, it was an honor and a privilege of you jumping on my broadcast, sharing your amazing journey from the beginning, the middle, and where the future is going to be told. I can see you being a multimillionaire, no doubt with that.
Thank you. I'm working on it.
Hey, you said it, you fish it, I guarantee you will receive it. Guarantee you.
Yes.
Once again, I would love to chat with you about that 4X.
For sure.
You and Rob, I would love to have another follow-up to see how that process goes and also share that among other entrepreneurs on my platform to know that, you know, there's other lines of incomes and just sometimes you got to jump into it and try something different.
Yeah, you got to be willing to jump out there. And for me, I was just like, what do I have to lose? I don't have a job now.
Yes.
Let's go. Let's do it. Let's go.
Yeah.
So
once again, I wish you a wonderful, blessed evening, a wonderful
Thank
night.
Thank you.
I'm going to put this together and I'm going to make sure the world hears your story and journey.
Appreciate it.
So you have a wonderful night. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.